Let's pray for Sam as she brings the message. Heavenly Father, we just want to lift Sam to you. We want to thank you that first and foremost, she's your daughter. She's your daughter and she knows you and she hears your voice. And so, Jesus, I just want to thank you for the message that you're going to bring us today through her. Thank you that you've prepared her and that she can confidently come before you, confidently share your word, knowing that it is truth. And Father, I just thank you for, yeah, just for the ripple effect and for the seeds that will be planted today in our hearts that will ripple out from this place and into our families and our workplaces and into our community. We thank you, God, that you are a transforming God. Amen.
Morning, guys. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't want to preach today. I don't like preaching. I don't want to preach. I struggled with this sermon. And I've realized closer to the day it's because I needed this word. I actually needed to hear this and I didn't want to. I didn't want God to actually say it. But you know, listening to you guys and the way that you love this church is so encouraging. And even today I walked in and so many people have prayed for me and said, you've got this. You guys are great. We are so blessed by being here. This is a hard move for our family. This hasn't been easy. But you know what? God's shown up. Every time we have struggled, every time we have no idea what's going on, God's shown up. And you know what? It seems to be so alive in this church. It's amazing. So never take that. I want to encourage those that haven't been here. Keep coming because you're going to see God. You're going to see Jesus because these people are going to show you Jesus. They shine Jesus. So just keep showing up. Keep building that relationship because you know what? He's going to show up. He's going to be there. He wants to show up. He wants to be with you today. Enough of me going off the script. I'm going to go back to what I was told to preach about this morning. I want you to consider someone. Now, I'm going to say his name wrong, and I know I'm going to say his name wrong, and someone might know his name and how to say it, and I'm sorry. I'm going to apologize right now, okay? You can come and correct me later. Don't correct me during my sermon, but come and correct me later, okay? But later on, feel free to come and correct me if you know about this man, okay? So he's a he's a music teacher. Oh my goodness. His name is Frayn Seelak. In January 1962, he was traveling on a train that suddenly derailed and plunged into an icy river, killing 17 passengers. He escaped with only a broken arm and a minor bruise. You're going to do something, aren't you? There? Can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Cool. I'm on fire today. The next year, a blown-out cockpit door forced him out of a plane in midair. Although 19 others were killed in the accident, he suffered only minor injuries, landing in a haystack. In 1966, he was riding on a bus that crushed and plunged into a river. Four others were killed, but he managed to escape unharmed. In 1970, he managed to escape before a fatally fuel pump engulfed his car into flames. In 1973, his car caught fire, forcing flames through an air vent. His only injury was hair loss. In 1995, he was hit by a city bus, but once again suffered minor injuries. I'm not making this up, guys. Just to let you know, this is actually a true person. No, this is serious, I promise you. I'll give you his name, you can look him up. Completely serious. What did I get up to? 1995, he was hit by a city bus, but once again suffered minor injuries. In 1996, he survived when he drove off a cliff to escape an oncoming truck. He himself managed to land in a tree and watched his car explode 300 feet below him. Didn't expect that one. Thank you. And in 2003, he won the lottery. This man has been described as the luckiest person in the world. Why did he receive that title? Because of the extent of which he experienced abundance. It was an extraordinary abundance. An abundance of protection, abundance of provision. It just doesn't seem possible when you hear this story for the first time. That's why people label it luck. However, I wonder what you would call it. Is it luck, or was it God looking out for him? If we believe that it was luck, then we would say that David had the same kind of luck. However, David and Frayn both give God the glory. Frayn said in a paper interview that he recognized his life had nothing to do with luck. He says, "I know God was watching over me all these years." And David gives this beautiful picture in Psalm 23 that we have been looking at. The most amazing thing about this psalm, it's not just poetry or timeless quality. The most amazing thing is that anyone can know that kind of care that David experienced. The world calls it luck, but David calls it provision. And it's there for all of us. Hopefully, as we've been exploring this Psalms, you have been able to embrace the shepherd metaphor. The fact that God is our divine shepherd. Hopefully, it has also reminded us to embrace our own sheepness. According to the Bible, we are not soaring eagles or lone wolves or teddy bears. No, we are stubborn and wayward sheep. We are sheep who desperately need a shepherd. Understanding this fact about himself, David wrote Psalm 23 to proclaim just how well God took care of him and can take care of us. And that's what he continues to do in verse 5. In verse 5, we see a very clear picture of God who wants and welcomes fellowship with us. What do I mean when I say that God wants and welcomes fellowship with us? David writes, "You have prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." Now, this is not just a normal table, not something that is just thrown together last minute. This table has been set since he knew you. This table has everything you need. How do we know? Let me explain. In verse 5, the metaphor has changed. The imagery of a shepherd is no longer used. Instead, David switches to the imagery of a banquet. So David moves seamlessly from describing God as a shepherd to describing him as the host of a banquet. But what I want you to see here is that metaphor goes hand in hand and shifts from verse 1 to 4 to 5 to 6. David's not shifting from first into reverse or even first into fifth. No, he is going smoothly from first gear into second gear. That's clear because he is talking about the goodness of God's provision and protection. Those are the very things David wanted to highlight using the imagery of a shepherd caring for his sheep. But here the green pasture from verse 2 has become a table. But not just any table. It is a prepared table. A table prepared with great love and great attention to detail. A table prepared for a great feast. And the wonderful hospitality of the host is demonstrated by the fact he has anointed his guest's head with a mixture of perfume and olive oil. This was the way that the host would honour his guest in the ancient Near East. And notice that the still water of verse 2 has now become a cup. And not just a cup, full cup, but a cup that is overflowing, a cup that we might describe today as having unlimited refills. So a table full of the best food you could imagine, a cup full of endless refreshments. God does not skimp. However, I want us to think of the feast differently today. Let's not focus on the food. Instead, let's focus on the other gifts that God gives us. By David saying God prepares a table for him, he's acknowledging his dependence on God. David has full trust in God and knows that God will provide him with everything he needs. Not just food, but all the resources that he needs. Our God wants us to sit at the table with him and do fellowship. Get to know him. Stay a while. Find the things that we need in him. However, not only does he prepare this beautiful table for us to sit at and get all our needs met, verse 5 tells us that he does it in front of our enemies. Why would he do this? God wants to bless us so he can show the world his goodness. This beautiful picture of abundance David paints is also a picture of God's abundance protection. Did you notice that David has not left the valley of the shadow of death in verse 2-4? He's still passing through it. How do we know this? Because verse 5 tells us that this lavish feast, this amazing table, has been prepared in the presence of David's enemies. What does that mean? It means that right there in that place, right there in the middle of those situations where fear and worry and doubt and uncertainty, which would usually leave us spiritually starving, God not only protects us from lasting harm, but he also feeds us with his loving and lavish provision. He takes care of us. David knew what it was like to be on the run, far from home, in the valleys, where enemies hot on his heels, hiding in caves with no clear end in sight. But right there, where we can expect David to feel most abandoned, he tells us here that he was enjoying a banquet of God's blessing, comfort, encouragement, hope, perspective, courage, joy, faith, and I'm sure we could keep going. David was well fed. As he declares in verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Wouldn't you like to go through hard times with this perspective? In the midst of a very difficult circumstances, wouldn't you like to eat at God's table? Instead of hiding under the table of fear and frustration, only God can take care of us like this. This is a picture the world needs to hear. Our world is broken. We are broken. However, there is one simple answer. We have a God that cares, a God that wants us to sit at that table. However, for the world to know that, we, his people, need to lead by example. We need to show our enemies that we have a God that provides all that we need, a God that we can trust, and a God that comes through all the time. We need to show people when we are in those hard times, instead of letting it overwhelm us, we have a God that cares, a God who is faithful, a shepherd, and an amazing host. This is the God that we need to show out the people of the world. This God is also a God that has promised our cups will overfill. However, in times when it is hard, in times when we need him the most, how do we find that strength? How do we depend on and grow in Christ? This final image is one of an overflowing cup. It shows us that God doesn't just give us what we need, but he gives us more. God has promised our cup will be overflowing. This again connects back to the relationship of a shepherd and his sheep. Shepherds would sometimes have to give their sheep water from a cup when they were thirsty. They were constantly looking out for the needs of their sheep, just the same way that God is constantly looking out for the needs of his people. However, God takes it a step further. He doesn't just offer a cup of water, but an overflowing cup. He gives us more than we need because he loves us. David completely trusts and depends on God. He feels safe and cared for in his presence. God is providing everything David needs and more. Psalm 23, verse 5 is calling us to do the same, to place our trust and hope in God in every area of our lives. That doesn't mean that things will always be easy. Remember, David describes God's care in the midst of his enemy. But despite the difficult times, God is still with us. He will not abandon us, and he will protect us. And actually, those valleys, those bumps, can be testimony of the love and protection that God has for us. We have a God that wants to be in fellowship, who wants to show the world his love through us, and wants to not only give us our needs, but wants to overwhelm us with his love by making our cups overflow. So put your trust in him. Focus on what he's doing for you. Throughout Psalms 23, David was reflecting on God's care for him, even when he was walking down difficult paths. This would be a good practice for us to do as well. Rather than looking at the difficult that surrounds us, how about we fixate on the one who is above them all? Reflecting on the way God is caring for us in those times. God is with you. He made a table for you. He's protecting you. He's restoring you. He's pouring out his blessing on you. There is nothing you need that he cannot provide. And I asked the band to come up today. I've prepared a table, and I believe this is only a glimpse of what we're going to see in heaven. Because you know what? God not only is going to feed us, but he's going to meet everything, our spiritual, our emotional, everything. We're not going to sing it today, but there's a song that says, your name is power, your name is healing, your name is light. What a wonderful reminder. God is everything that everything that we need. He wants to restore us. He wants to be with us. And when we are weak, when we have nothing, we just need to speak his name and remember that he is power and he can do everything. God wants us to come to the table. No matter what it is, he wants us to come to the table. So today I've prepared a table. And on this table is little love letters from God to you. So if you want to come and sit at the table, bring a chair with you and you can sit at the table and read the letter. You can take the letter away. There's little chocolate hearts just to fulfill the need. It's going to be more than that when we get to heaven, right? But this table's going to have everyone that we want to discuss things with. And I can't do that. But I can prepare this as a symbol of what it could be like. So I'm going to invite you this morning, do whatever God's asking you to do. And if it's not to come to this table, that's fine. If it's to bring someone up to pray with you as you go through those valleys, then bring someone up. If it's just to sit at the table and do nothing, you know what? That's okay. If it's to sit in your seat and do nothing, that's okay. But I want you to connect with God today. I want you to invite Him to be there with you. Because I believe He's in this room, but we have to invite Him to speak to us. So today, as the band plays, do whatever God wants you to do. Follow His leading.